The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN125.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Now, your savings headquarters Monday through Friday and every Sunday. And at the big finish event going on now at Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, you can really save some big bucks. Spread some holiday cheer. How about a brand new, totally redesigned 2019 Ram 1500 for just $21,484? Or you can lease it for $299 a month. Motor Trend's Truck of the Year. Gulfgate's got the largest Ram inventory in the loop. Not into a Ram? Okay, how about the 2018 Jeep Wrangler? Lease it for $324 a month, Motor Trend's SUV of the year. They've got a new state-of-the-art service center that's now open twice the size to service twice the vehicles by their certified technicians. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway, and always online at gulfgatedodge.com. Buy a new 2018 Ram 1500, MSRP 32,740, 57,56 dealer discount, 5,000 manufacturer discount, $299 a month for 84 months with 4.5% APR, 3,000 down plus TTNL. Lease 2018 Jeep Wrangler, 39 monthly payments, 324, 10,000 miles per year. Must be financed through Ally. Acquisition fee and first payment due at signing. All prices plus TTNL. Must take from dealer inventory. See dealer for details. Good through 1319.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
409S, thoughts on Tucker for Real Muto? Seems like an easy trade to make for Houston, especially the control and level of talent. I would do it in a heartbeat.
I mean, no. Normally, I'm the first one to say do this, but if what I've heard is true and you could trade Tucker for Corey Kluber?
Well, if that's true.
Real Muto is a ripoff. If that's what the guy's worth.
If that's true, yeah. If you're asking me, would I rather have Real Muto than Kyle Tucker on the roster? Absolutely.
Yes. I love pot as much as the next guy, but if I had a job where I was making seven figures and they said, you can't smoke pot, guess what? I'm just not going to smoke pot. I'd almost feel worse for him if he had, like, a heroin addiction. I mean, your job has got to be your priority over weed. Weed takes priority over your job, you're just a dummy.
Yeah, I think, like, if David Gal came in here and said, you know what, as much as you drink is impacting the show, as much as you're smoking weed is impacting the show, I need you to stop.
Okay.
All right.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, if you are. At AJ is the real. At my name, John. At Degenerates 975. And for this segment, at Brad Powers 7, as we go to the greatest college football analyst in the history of mankind
for Top pregame.com. Five for sure.
He's up there. And easily one of our favorite segments of the week. Brad Powers joins us. What's going on, Brad?
Yeah, I really appreciate that introduction. I don't know about that. It depends on how good my picks are doing. So right now, really good. But if you told me that and gave me that indicator last year, I'm not sure a lot of people would agree with you.
Yeah, it hasn't been my best year. And what's really weird is when you're on a game, I'm on a game, and AJ's on a game, and I feel really good about it. Those are the ones that haven't come through for me this year. where all three of us are on it. So,
well, let's get into some of
these. Yeah, that's a cautionary tale. No game should ever look that good. So I always get worried when everyone has agreement here. Wait a second. Then why in the heck is the line where it's at if everyone's handicapping it the same way?
Well, let's get into these things. Marshall is my play tonight, and I actually like the under, too, although it's creeped down to 51 now, and the line on Marshall's gone up to 3.5. Was it 4 for a little while? But I just feel like Marshall is a better bowl team, first of all. I feel like they're going to be more motivated considering where the game is being played. It just feels like a Marshall side for me. What are your thoughts on this game tonight?
Yeah, lean on Marshall for me. You mentioned Marshall being a good bowl team. They're the best bowl team out of any program in the history of college football. Their all-time bowl record since they jumped up to the FBS Division 1A level 20 years ago, 11-1 straight up, 11-1 against the spread, including a perfect 5-0 under their current head coach, Doc Holliday. Average cover by 10 points per game under Holliday. So you're right. Marshall in these bowl games has been dynamite. And yes, I get it. The games played at South Florida, they always play their games at Raymond James Stadium there in Tampa. But Marshall will travel well. Why? 28 players from the state of Florida, and they recruit very well to that area. And why wouldn't you want a bowl trip to the state of Florida? Meanwhile, you got to play a home game. That's your reward for the season for South Florida. I think Marshall's more motivated here. I agree with you. The under was the right side. I think as far as side or total, I'd have preferred the under. But that's been, you know, taken away. As far, you could have gotten 55.5, and now it's down, you know, 4 or 5 points. So that would be my concern. You're chasing a lot of line movement if you're looking to back the under now.
This next one, I don't have a real strong feel on the Bahamas Bowl. I think when you play a bowl in a place like the Bahamas, you're always wondering which side is going to handle the trip better. And I assume Toledo seems like they're going to be the ones who are more excited about it. Maybe Florida International looks at it as more of a business trip. Toledo's lost, they've lost their last two bowl games. The last one they won was in Boca Raton, which was under a different coach. And then the Panthers haven't won a bowl game since 2010, and that's when Mario Cristobal was the FIU coach. What's the right side on this game? Because I don't really have a great feel for it.
Well, I thought the right side was FIU, and I bet FIU early on in the bowl season. But the problem, because you got so many, you know, 2 weeks in between the time these games are played and when they're announced, some cases 3 weeks, you get issues. And the issue that was announced today for FIU is their starting quarterback, James Morgan's been their starter all season. He's not going to play. He's out with a sore shoulder, so they're going to have to go to a backup quarterback. And if you're wondering why the line moved 2.5 points today, that's why. So Christian Alexander is going to start. He's a mobile guy, so a little bit of a different look that's going to, you know, throw at Toledo. But I was all over FIU. I really liked them a lot. Now with the current news, I lean Toledo actually -7. I think the 2.5 point swing. If you're looking to bet the game, bet Toledo, because as that news starts to break more, I think this line's only going to go up.
What about BYU Western Michigan? BYU's been a confusing team all season long, 12.5 in the potato bowl.
It seems like a really big number for a game that I expect to be fairly low scoring.
Yeah, you know, the money has come in a little bit on the over, but still, you're talking a total at 50. And to me, my biggest issue is, hey, it's the potato bowl. How excited can you be this time of year? And when you have questionable motivation, and I think BYU does, was that their goal to play in the Potato Bowl this year? I don't think that's the case, especially after they pulled an outright upset over Wisconsin, beat Arizona early on in the season. If you told them at that point, hey, you're only going to go to the Potato Bowl, I think many on that team would have said, hey, that's kind of a disappointment. Anytime you got questionable motivation, I don't want to be laying double digits, and therefore I'll lean with Western Michigan here plus the points.
One game I like a lot is the under on Houston and Army. Houston's going to be starting a freshman quarterback. Army is basically going to control the football for most of the game. I don't know where the points are going to come from here. Tell me if I'm wrong on that one.
No, I don't think you are. The market has spoken. You could have gotten 67.
Yeah.
For about a week, and then all of a sudden that number dropped a full touchdown in the span of 24 hours. So a very sharp group hit this number pretty big about a week ago. I'll lean under, and I'll also lean Army. I just don't know how Houston – I don't think Houston's going to have the ball very much. Number one, Houston is the worst team in the country as far as time of possession. They only hold the ball for about 24 minutes per game. On the flip side, Army's number one in the country in time of possession. They hold the ball for about 39 minutes per game. Houston, I mean, playing with a shell themselves. Backup quarterback, four out of their, you know, eight guys in the two deep on the defensive line are out, including Ed Oliver, the All-American defensive tackle. I think Army controls the game, stays on the field, and if that clock's moving, the under in Army sounds pretty good to me.
Wake Forest, Memphis. Memphis is just, I mean, they're beat up. They've recently had trouble finishing bowl games. They're not gonna be playing Henderson at running back. Don't know how that works out. I am unsure, I guess, if Greg Dortch is gonna play. If Greg Dortch plays, I really like Wake Forest. Even if he doesn't, I think Wake Forest is sort of my lean. I think this is a high scoring game, and I feel like Wake Forest is the side if you get into a shootout here. And you know, Memphis is a team that's relied on the run all year, and without their stud running back, what happens to them?
Yeah, the total agreement for me on this one. Lean Wake Forest without Dortch, a really strong line. I think they win the game outright without him. And looking at it, I think this is a rare case, guys, where it's the Power 5 team in Wake Forest that's excited to be there. Why? They were dead in the water with a couple games to go in the regular season. They weren't thinking bowl, but somehow they pull a big upset against NC State on a Thursday night. And then in the finale, pull even a bigger as far as spread margin. As a 10-point dog, they beat Duke 59-7. This is a team that's trending great, and you know, right as far as upward trajectory, I'd say no team has had a better one in the last few weeks than Wake Forest did. They're excited to be there. Memphis might still be smarting after kicking themselves after blowing yet another lead against Central Florida. I would say Darrell Henderson, non-quarterback, Darrell Henderson, the running back for Memphis, is one of the top five most valuable players in the country. He's off that team. And keep in mind, Memphis coaching staff lost both their offensive and defensive coordinators after the end of the regular season. Wake Forest is a play for me.
Troy, Buffalo. I tend to lean to Troy. Just, I mean, the first thing that jumps out at me is it's essentially a home game for them, which is, if you get that, it can be helpful. And it just feels like this is one of those games, and I don't know if they're going to be able to stop Tyree Jackson. I mean, he's a nice player. He's dynamic. He moves. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. But Troy's got a fantastic defense, and they are not letting teams run the score up on them. They don't have good quarterback play, though. This feels like one of those games that if Troy can keep the score low, they're going to be the team. If the score gets up into the mid 30s, I feel like Buffalo's probably the side. What do you think on this one?
Oh, a little correlated parlay. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I don't think Troy wants to get in the shootout here. I'm on the Troy side. You mentioned it. I mean, they're only 3 hours away from home. Buffalo's more than 1,100 miles away. Buffalo, are they still smarting from blowing that, you know, 29-10 lead in the MAC championship game a couple weeks ago? Could have been a conference champion. And I'll say this. I'm still stunned. Neil Brown, the head coach at Troy, doesn't have a bigger job at this point. Here's a guy that, and with a win here, that'd be three straight double-digit win seasons. Wins over the likes of LSU and Nebraska the last couple years. They've covered 62% of the time under him the last three seasons. And even were a profitable team this year, even though they lost their quarterback midway through the season. I'll take Troy plus the points.
Last one for this week, Louisiana Tech and Hawaii. This is another one that I don't really have a great feel for. I think it's kind of a shootout game. My lean is towards Louisiana Tech, but it's not something that I'm crazy about. It's a big number, 61 now, and Hawaii a 1-point favorite. Where do you fall on that one?
Yeah, Louisiana Tech, slight lean. Stronger lean for me is on the over, and let's talk about it. Just generally speaking, betting the over. Whenever Hawaii's in the Hawaii Bowl, the over is 5-1, and actually 5-1 as far as those lines go, 6-0 to this current totals line of 61. What I've seen from Louisiana Tech the last four bowl games, they open it up offensively. They've averaged 45 points per game in those last four bowl games for them. Defense for Hawaii was abysmal down the stretch. Last half of the season, they allowed 42 points per game. They run the run and shoot. They were kind of hit and miss this year as far as Hawaii as offense go, but they finished quite strong. I think the over is the strongest play here, but also a slight lean on La Tech.
I guess we have some of the games after Christmas.
The games on the 26th there.
Yeah, let's get into those. Boston College, Boise being the first one. This feels like a game where, and I always have a hard time with Boise in bowl season. I feel like they used to get really up to play against a Power 5 team, but I don't know if it's the same way when they're playing Boston College that it is when they were playing Oklahoma. I don't know if it's the same same pumped up, like, oh, we got to prove what we are against these guys. I don't know if they get the same feeling against that, but I would say it's probably been a disappointing season for Boston College after where they started off. So I don't know if they're really thrilled to be where they are now, but what how do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I think you guys hit on a majority of the handicap here. I don't think either one's overwhelmingly excited to be here. I'll say this, one of the reasons I thought, at least from my eye test, why Boston College is struggling down the stretch, I don't think their quarterback, Anthony Brown, or their running back, A.J. Dillon, was playing 100% down the stretch of the season. They'll be 100% here. Boise State, you know, they had an opportunity to win a conference champion second year in a row, and they blow it in overtime against Fresno. That's a little disappointing. I see both teams prefer to run the ball, especially Boise State. Last couple of games, their running back, Madison, had 77 carries, so they really went run-oriented towards the end of the season. Boston College runs at 62% of the time. Both teams defend the run quite well. I'm going under here, slight lean under. I know everyone wants to get involved on every bowl game because they're isolated. They're on TV. Just a pizza lean for me on the under.
Here's one I actually do like. I lean to Georgia Tech against Minnesota. Minnesota's got they're missing their best running back. They've got suspensions now on the offensive and defensive line. Georgia Tech being an option team on an inside stadium, I feel like it's going to be tough for them to stop Georgia Tech, as an offense that they haven't seen. The number's gone up to 5.5. I don't know how I feel about the total at 57.5, but I do like Georgia Tech to win this game. What do you think?
Yeah, win and cover for me. Georgia Tech, of the games that we've been talking about so far, Georgia Tech would be one of my strongest ones here. You talked about Minnesota losing players. Linebacker, Blake Cashman, this was stunning to me because I thought this is a guy, a Minnesota kid, want to finish out his career, decided to skip out on the bowl. He's their leading tackler, no question, the leader on that defensive side of the ball. Their best offensive tackles out for the game. Georgia Tech wants to send out Paul Johnson, final game as a head coach. You would think that the players would want to, you know, the guys that signed up with him as far as wanting to, you know, let him ride off into the sunset with his fourth bowl win and cover in his last five. I think that'll be the case here. I'll take Georgia Tech minus the 5.5.
All right, let's get into this. The Cheez-It Bowl, everyone's favorite bowl, the Cheez-It Bowl, Cal versus TCU. Are we going first to 17 wins? Is that the case? I mean, Cal's offense is so atrocious. Both these teams have been bad against the spread all season. TCU down to their third quarterback, though. Not that Cal's starter is any good. How do you see this game working out, and how many points can possibly be scored in this thing?
Yeah, this is another one. If this was a game on a normal Saturday card in October with 55 choices, it'd be a total pass for me. Wouldn't even get involved. And maybe take a peek at it if they had a big game on deck that I could maybe thought I'd see opportunity. I don't see a lot of value here. In fact, I'll take a contrarian approach. Let's see how low the market drives down this total. I don't mind betting the over because, boy, the cash and under ticket when it's 38.5, a lot of things can happen. Bowl games are high variance, and by that, I mean they usually, you know, as far as the final score, falls a lot farther away from the point spread does the normal regular season action. I mean, let's look at the favorites so far have covered by an average of 21 points per game in the first seven bowl games. So this is when everyone's going to say, hey, let's bet the under. I'm going to go with the over. In fact, you know, if you just look at these two teams, I get it. They're terrible on offense, really good on the defense side of the ball, especially in Cal fits the bill there. Both teams are a combined 15-9 of the over as far as this totals line. So give me the over. I'll be contrarian.
All right. Is there something to, you know, the favorites winning every game so far? Is that a trend you expect to see stopped pretty quickly here?
Yeah, you know, and I hope so because I got a couple of dogs coming up tomorrow, and I perceived a bad FIU ticket when I thought their starting quarterback was going to play. Yeah, sooner or later. And I think that'll come to a screeching halt. One thing that do notice, if you do want to back a favorite, and if this continues, maybe start, you know, back and deciding to bet that favorite now, because what I am seeing and some of these favorites are starting to take action in the marketplace. So if the streak continues to go along here the next couple of days, then you're going to start seeing those next couple of games, especially those 26 games day after Christmas. A lot of people are going to be starting to bet a little bit more on the favorite side because they've been cashing left and right.
All right.
Let's before we let you go, there's two games that will be on before you come on with us next week.
All right.
So I want to get your thoughts on Duke Temple and Miami, Wisconsin.
Yeah, my favorite bet of the two, I'll take Duke plus the points. I think it's the biggest coaching mismatch in the bowl season. David Cutcliffe's 8-2 against the spread in bowl games. And I got to tell you, one of those two ATS losses was, in my opinion, the worst bad beat in the history of college football. I had one of my biggest bowl bets I've ever had in my life, and they were going to win the game outright easily by double digits, and somehow in the final 2 minutes they don't cover like a 9-point spread against Cincinnati. I'll never get over that. That's been 6 years ago, and I still haven't forgot about it. Foley, he's the interim coach. He gave an inspirational speech at one of the luncheons. He reminded me of Matt Foley, the inspirational leader on Saturday Night Live, Chris Farley. He was an interim coach.
By the river.
Yeah. And after this one, he might be that might be where his job is because, I mean, already one data point with him as an interim. Temple a couple years ago was a 10.5-point favorite and lost to Wake Forest outright in a bowl game. I think Duke's motivated, especially after getting crushed in the finale by 52 points to Wake Forest. Give me the Blue Devils, and I'll sprinkle a little bit of money line on them.
That last one, I really like Miami in this game against Wisconsin. No Hornibrook. I've thought Wisconsin I thought they've been bad all year. And then, you know, just the turnovers with these guys. Miami is 12th in the nation in turnovers, and then the Badgers are outside of the top 100 in turnovers. It just seems like they've got a pretty big edge there. What are your thoughts on that Miami and Wisconsin matchup?
Yeah, at the current number, I don't have a strong opinion. I'd probably lean more towards Wisconsin. I just trust Wisconsin in a game that could be played in cold weather. I don't trust Miami in that situation. Miami's playing without one of their best defensive players, their defensive lineman, Willis. That's not a good look. I think the best player on the field, obviously, is Wisconsin's running back, Taylor. I just trust Wisconsin. They're a little bit more buttoned up. Although I do expect Miami to give great effort on the defense side of the ball. It's the final game for their defensive coordinator, Manny Diaz, who took the Temple head coaching job. They will play hard for him. So I just talking through it myself, I think the under is going to be the play for me.
Do you think the weather is going to factor into the side or the total, it being a cold weather game for Miami?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the future forecast just yet, and I don't know if we can trust the weather forecaster a week in advance. But something that hasn't gotten out of my head was that bowl game against the Fighting Irish, the Sun Bowl, about 8 years ago, where it actually snowed in El Paso the night before. Miami came out with like parkas on. Notre Dame came out with sleeveless shirts on, and that was a total mismatch from the start of the game. So if it's a cold one below 40 degrees, that won't be a good look for Miami, in my opinion.
All right, that's Brad Powers, lead college football analyst for pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Knows his stuff. Always fun to talk college football, and looking forward to talking a little college basketball with you here in a few weeks too.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to it, but we got to finish strong this bowl season strong.
All right. Talk to you next week, man.
Yeah, happy holidays, guys. Take
Same
care.
To you,
we'll
man.
Talk to you next week.
All right. That was Brad Powers. He's really good.
That's the wrap up. He's really good.
He is. Of all the bets you make, what percentage have you bought points on, if any? Less than 0.5%.
Yeah,
I almost never buy points. I don't.
If I buy points, I'm doing it in the form of a teaser. And
yeah,
in college, I don't know. I don't really like doing it. I don't like doing it in the NFL. It's a rare thing for me.
To me, if it's now the NFL would be more logical considering. You know, how three and a half, how those fit. But the reality is, I mean, if I'm on that big of a fence about a point, about a half point, then I really shouldn't be making the bet.
Right. And the thing is, like, there's a lot of people who will, okay, let's say the number's 3.5, buy down to 3. Honestly, if the number's 3.5 and I don't like the side that's getting 3.5, it's probably not the right side for me.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. I mean, hell, tonight's, I would still take Marshall. I've got it at 3. I would still take it at 3.5 because I feel pretty confident in that pick. But if I was like, if it was a pick that I was worried was going to be a really close call, and I'm on the wrong side of that three or the wrong side of that seven,
pass.
It's just a pass. Yeah. All right, guys. What am I doing here, John? You tell me. Your choice.
My computer career.
My computer career. That's right, guys. If you are working in a job that you're not thrilled about, or you are not making enough money, or you hate your boss, do something about it. Because their program is designed for people with zero IT experience, My Computer Career supports their students with one-on-one mentoring, which is a great thing when you're getting into a new business. If you don't jump out of bed every day excited for work, go to mycomputercareer.edu, take their free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. If you don't have computer experience or training, no big deal. Helping people start an IT career, that's what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online two or three times a week. You'll get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes are starting up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
On you only if they know what your weaknesses. I have none. Too late to grab them, cause I'm a fool. Thought I wouldn't have that done. Fooled you, what you call it.
All right, guys. Man Centers is now known as the Y Factor, presented by Man Centers. The same practice as always. Nothing's changed but the name. And they're still helping you out if you've got low testosterone issues and you don't want to go to the synthetic injections that can damage fertility, cause dependency and long-term health issues and shrinkage. You can go a different route. You may be sluggish at work, in the gym, or in the bedroom and not want to get on that weekly shot and then have the weekly crash until you get the next one. Man Centers has made it easier. You don't have to do that. The Man Centers focuses on enhancing your body's natural ability to produce its own testosterone, and they can help you out. They've got three locations, Katy Freeway and Campbell in the Memorial area, off 249 in Tomball, and now open in Webster. Go check them out. Take advantage of their free general male wellness checkup. Set up your appointment today, 832-358-8600, or go to mancenters.com to book it online. The Y Factor, presented by Man Centers, helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.
I wouldn't hold my breath if I was you, because I forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, true friends stab you in the front.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Got a giveaway for the people at 6:35. Don't start calling now, but at 6:35, we'll take the seventh caller. And the WWE brings the Elimination Chamber to Houston for the first time ever. Win a pair of tickets to see the men's and women's Elimination Chamber match. Daniel Bryan, Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, plus many more Sunday, February 17th at Toyota Center. Or buy yours now. Tickets start at just $25. You can get them online at HoustonToyotaCenter.com. 6:35. So I want to bounce something off you, AJ, if that would be okay.
Okay. As long as it's not a golf ball.
What about a bowling ball?
I ain't getting much of a bounce off of that. I'm not going to lie.
A pool ball. Yeah.
I look like, remember when Homer Simpson got shot with the cannonball?
Yeah.
And it just, it was gone.
All right. So I'll bounce a cannonball off.
Okay.
You. Some companies around the world are, and I'm just kind of curious what you think of this, are experimenting with 4-day work weeks.
Okay.
Like a Berlin company basically went to it. Earlier this year with their 10-member staff. New Zealand, a company in New Zealand, Perpetual Guardian, which sounds like a church, reported a fall in stress and a jump in staff engagement after it tested a 32-hour work week earlier this year.
All right.
Even in Japan, they are trying it. The idea is that people are more productive during that time and live better lives.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
I'm not opposed to it. I mean, obviously it doesn't work for us, but...
No, we could take Fridays off from now on.
Yeah, and just work, you know, I mean, I don't know how we'd split it up exactly. We'd work 15-hour weeks here.
No, there's a little more involved than that, but
yeah. No, it's exactly 15 hours. So we would switch to 4-hour days. We'd give them an extra hour, and we would just not work on Friday. I'm actually okay with this now that I think of it. Let's do that.
Just go to 4-hour shows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quit doing that fifth show.
Nah, this doesn't count because I enjoy what I do, but I could never do a 4-day week. I mean, we did it one time at the newspaper. There were some shifts that were, because we did 10-hour shifts for certain people, and you couldn't get overtime. Well, I couldn't get overtime because I was salaried. And so technically it was supposed to be 4 days, but it never worked out to that.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be 4 10-hour shifts. It wound up being, you know, five and a half days worth.
I'd rather work 4 10s than 5 8s, personally.
I think I would, too. I enjoyed that more because inevitably you wind up working more than 8 hours a lot of times anyway,
right,
without getting paid for it. But it's so different now. It's like when I had that job, yeah, I would have loved to have been able to actually do the 4-day week. But now I like working. I like, you know, hell, I work 7 days a week doing this stuff, and I enjoy it. It's fun. And I still feel productive. I don't feel like I've lost any. In fact, I feel
you haven't lost anything off your fastball. Is that what you're saying?
No. I feel like, and honestly, I don't feel burned out. I feel fine.
Okay.
So
you're fine with what you're working with?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because basically,
I can see the appeal of a 4-day work week, though.
Yeah, I can too. I think it depends. Like, it doesn't work for what we do. I mean, we've got a website that's basically a 24/7 thing, but if I had a job that, especially one that I wasn't all that crazy about, I think a 4-day, 10-hour day better than, or a 32-hour week would even be better.
Yeah.
So he said, we do that at my job. Every weekend is like a mini vacation. It's great. So that's, you know, I think if you can, I mean, you're getting the same, if you're getting more production out of somebody, does it really matter if they're not there on Friday?
Because people are lazy on Fridays.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, if they're, let's say you're going to work 4 10-hour days and have 3 days off, aren't you going to be more productive than you would be if you split that into Friday? Because, you know, people are on Fridays. You get a foot out the door. That's why they're all going to the party tomorrow. Tech leading Duke, 24-21.
So that's good news.
Yeah, for +9.5.
Yeah.
So I followed you on that one.
Thank you.
Yeah. I threw it in with a little Marshall parlay just for grins.
There you go.
You know, one of those 50 to win 160 things.
It's always good.
So, but yeah,
I need Marshall to show up way more than I need Texas Tech to be honest.
Okay.
But
I do too.
All of it's good. All money's good. You know, I'll take it all. But
yeah, I do too because I invested pretty heavily in that game earlier. So.
Yeah, if I need you to lose one of those, it's this one.
Well, I'd rather you not.
I'd rather win both. I'm with you.
I'm just saying, it seems like you're kind of.
No, I've got money with you too. Just
kind of rooting against me.
A little bit less. That's all.
No, I don't have that much on there. I just wanted. I was telling you, I wanted something.
You just wanted some action.
Yeah, and I bet the. I'd already bet Marshall, but then I thought, let's tie it to something else.
So yeah, I'm with you on that. But I've got more than just some interest action on Marshall tonight.
Okay. Well, there you go. Good luck. See, who's on my side when it comes to trying to get an NHL team here?
Cody Stutes.
Not Cody Stutes.
Oh, who?
You know, who would you rather have on your side? Cody Stutes or J.J. Watt?
Ooh.
It's tough, isn't it? Because
are we recording an audiobook or?
No, we're trying to get an NHL franchise to Houston.
I guess J.J. Watt's probably better.
Says, I love hockey. I'm a huge hockey fan. I love to skate. I love playing. There's nothing like putting the puck in the back of the net. I'm probably too big to be the guy who does that anymore. I guess I could be an enforcer. Yeah. but he'd love to get in on the NHL team with Tillman. So
do it. Well, he's got some dough.
Yeah.
Tell him to throw his throw some bucks out there.
What if you work a 4-day week and your Thursday becomes the new Friday and you start being lazy on Thursday?
I mean, that's possible.
Yeah. 713 says, my job does it and my employees hate it. They aren't productive in those 11 hours, one for lunch.
Well,
I guess it really just comes down to what the job is.
Right.
And, you know, if it's something that if you've got little kids, those 10-hour days can be tough because you got to get them out of school. You got to get them to school. Like a lot of people will drop the kids off at school, go to work, pick them up after their shift.
Yeah.
that I think if you were doing 10 hours, that takes that out of there, at least it picking does. Them up. And, you know, and I guess it just depends on the company and the person and what works best. But I think in theory, I like it. But 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Somebody with a good question. What's the asking price for an NHL team these days? Depends on the team and the value, because like right now, I think they spent $500 for the Hurricanes, if I remember correctly, which is not a big market team, and that's about. And I'm pretty sure Arizona's value is less than that. So,
let's see. The New York Rangers, the league's most valuable team, is worth $1.55 billion.
Followed by the Leafs and the Canadiens.
Leafs, Canadiens, Blackhawks, Bruins. So, yeah, there's – and when you get down to the bottom, I mean, it's just like any league. There's some high-priced teams and some low-priced teams. And from what I understand, if it were to happen, it would be the Cardinal or the Coyotes moving, right?
Yeah.
They're worth $290 million. Which I know, I'm saying it like it's nothing. It's
right.
Still $290 million. It's a lot of money. But, like, you know, Bryce Harper can buy that with his next contract if he wants. So,
yeah.
It's, you know, there's billionaires out there who that's a drop in the bucket to if it's a worthwhile, you know.
Well, and not deal. Only that, though, it's if you buy that team and move it here, your franchise value goes up from where
for
it
sure.
is right now, because they have a bad arena situation and the team hasn't been successful. It's not going to jump into the stratosphere, but I bet it wouldn't shock me if it doubled in value.
It looks like the average NHL franchise costs about $500 million.
Yeah.
About $500 million.
Yeah. Like the Golden Knights are valued at $575 million and the expansion franchise fee was $500 million. So that ought to tell you. But there's some teams there that like the Stars are worth $525 million.
Yeah.
That's I don't want to make it sound like that's not a lot of money, but for a major sports franchise, it kind of
it's not.
If you were going to buy one, I think that's where you could invest your money.
I mean, those the numbers that you see at the top, like especially the top four that are over $1 billion. I mean, that's big money.
Yeah,
the New York Rangers, 1.55. That's like, I mean, that's a lot of NBA franchises aren't worth 1.55 billion. So,
yeah.
Depending on the market that you're in, there's some value. And Houston's a big market. It's not New York as far as a hockey market.
No, but I think you could. It would be on par with Dallas, and that's a little over $500 million. So, like I said, almost double the franchise value.
Yep.
would be my guess. So, we'll see. I mean, Ashton asked the NFL refs the best of the big five sports in the U.S. NFL, NBA, what's MHL? MLB and UFC.
MHL?
I think he means NHL.
Oh, UFC?
Yeah.
that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Those refs are horrible.
Yeah, well, I mean, the NFL and the NBA are, for the level of leagues those are, they're not good. MLB, well, the fact that we know so many umpire names, that's probably not good.
Probably not.
But I think, you know, the refs miss a lot in the NHL too. It's just we watch the other sports more. I watch a lot of games where there's three or four penalties a game that just get missed.
Yeah,
you know, because they can't see it. But I think on the whole they do a pretty good job. I don't have a lot of complaints from what I've seen. All right, guys, you going to the party tomorrow, right?
I'll be there.
Yeah, are you going to be at the Klein's part of it?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll be at Nick's, and you're probably going to be drinking. And guess what? Make sure you get you some samples of Thrive and check it out. It's going to change your life. It's fantastic. Listen, I don't drink without Thrive, and everybody drinks. 60% of Americans drink at least every month. It's kind of part of life. And if you're a blitzer, it's probably a big part of your life. You know I'm into it. And once you get to a certain age, and in my case, a really old age, even a little bit of alcohol, you're not going to feel 100% the next day. We just talked about all the things that I have to do in a given day. I need to be right. And after a few drinks, I'm not going to be anymore. But with Thrive, I am. And all you have to do is take 3 capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. It reduces alcohol's negative effects, gives your liver what it needs to process alcohol and its toxic byproducts. And the guys who founded this, Brooks, who was on Shark Tank, and he's what we call a smart. This is a Princeton graduate. They've got five PhDs on their team. And trust me, if you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, they're going to give you your money back. And here's the best part. Based right here in Houston, you're doing business with a Houston company. So if you order before 4 o'clock, you're going to receive the product on your doorstep the next day. To order Thrive Plus, go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. They're also on Amazon. So if you want to order that way, simply search Thrive Plus on Amazon. I don't drink without Thrive Plus, and neither should you.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. This is your last invitation to go to the Klein's Christmas party tomorrow. Starts at 7 at Klein's Fine Jewelry. And then it picks up at Nick's Place at 11. So come on out. This is the last appearance of the year for us. So your last chance to come see us live at Nick's. And I'll be there a little early, because I like Nick's and want to say hello to everybody. Before we get to Hoffman on Hollywood, Texter said, my department had a vote on whether to go to the four-day, 40-hour work week. It had to be unanimous. One guy voted it down because he had to carpool with his wife. Another guy voted no because he valued time away from his wife.
Hmm.
Interesting. So it's the same amount of time, right?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. Then maybe you have to spend the whole weekend together. Yeah. Oh, well. Let's do Hoppin' on Hollywood.
All right. Let's start. I got a couple stories about boobs.
I'm a huge fan.
Be interesting. This is a bad story about boobs. Dog the Bounty Hunter. Did you ever watch that show?
I never did, but he does have boobs.
And you remember his wife had really, really massive boobs?
Yeah.
I guess they've got cancer in them. And now it's spread to her lungs, and apparently they've just announced that the cancer is returned and now incurable.
Dude, why are you bringing me down with all this?
This is the news that people are asking for from Hollywood. Dog the Bounty Hunter is a big star. So, do you want to hear about, would you rather hear about Rachel McAdams' boobs?
Yeah, I'd rather hear about Rachel McAdams'
boobs. I thought you would prefer that. She posed topless in a Versace ad, and she was wearing a breast pump.
Hmm.
Does that do it for you?
No, doesn't really.
Take a look.
That doesn't work for me.
She's got, it looks like, first of all, it looks like her right boob is producing.
Plus, that's not a very flattering photo of her either.
Better than her left boob. Hmm. I don't know if this is the baby that Ryan Gosling put in her in that movie. But she did decide to post this onto Instagram. She says, breastfeeding's the most normal thing in the world. I can't for the life of me imagine why or how it's ever frowned upon or scared of. I don't think it needs explaining, but just wanted to put this out there. Even if it changes one person's perception of something so natural, so normal, so amazing, then that's great.
I don't frown on it. I just don't need to see it.
Yeah.
I don't need to see your pumps.
Yeah, I still, to this day, I talk about my wife. I met one of her friends from high school. And we were just talking, and she randomly just pulled one out, like, without skipping a beat. No, like, hey, throw a blanket over this, or do you mind if I breastfeed my baby? She just pulled it out. It's still kind of awkward to this day. So
yeah, I no problem with it. Don't care if it's controversial or not. Do what you want. I just don't need to see it.
How about this? The world's highest paid comedians of 2018.
Yeah, I had that list. I'm glad I didn't do it before we got to Hoffman on Hollywood.
So there's two guys on here who are, if I'm not mistaken, ventriloquists, which I don't know how that counts.
I'm against that.
But number one, Jerry Seinfeld made $57.5 million.
What is that just off?
He does that show, the comedians and cars.
Yeah, but that can't be making him a bunch.
I don't know. He's doing okay, I guess. Kevin Hart right behind him, $57 million, even though he got into some some bad press this last year.
I've really gained an appreciation for how funny Kevin Hart is. I didn't like him for a lot of years, and then I started watching his stand-up more. And I've kind of liked him in a few of the movies I've seen him in since. So
Dave Chappelle, $35 million, pretty big drop off from those top two.
Yeah, what the hell is Seinfeld? It's got to be residuals from the show, right?
Oh, I'm sure,
right?
That's part of it. Yeah. Chris Rock, $30 million. Ricky Gervais, $25 million. Gabriel Iglesias, $20.5 million. Terry Fator, who's a ventriloquist. Jim Gaffigan, $17.5 million. Jeff Dunham, $16.5 million. And Sebastian Maniscalco, $15 million.
Is it weird that I have only heard of about half of those?
No, I've heard of all of them except for this Maniscalco guy. I don't know anything about him. I know that Terry, he was on America's Got Talent. He's like, he's a ventriloquist.
All right, that's going to wrap it up.
We should go see him next time we're out in Vegas.
Yeah. Great job, Jong Lee. I'm not really a ventriloquist kind of guy.
Okay, fine.
Great job, Jong Lee. Great job, AJ Hoffman. Great job by Brad Powers and Chris Harris. We will be at Nick's place tomorrow. Come on out and join us. Go out and hit the Clients party earlier than that. Have a great, great Friday. Hopefully we'll see a bunch of you out there. Until then, stay sportsy, bitches.